Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
We're going to start with this disturbing story, and we probably covered this when it initially happened, but this is a bit of a follow-up. Ludovic Michaud was driving around the scenic Red Rock landscapes of Utah's Arches National Park on a windy spring day in 2020 when something unthinkable happened. A metal gate whipped around, sliced through the passenger door of his car, and decapitated his new 25-year-old wife, Esther.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Her last name was Nakajigo. The tragic accident is now subject of a wrongful death lawsuit that Michaud and Nakajigo's family are pursuing, in which they argue the U.S. Park Service was negligent and did not maintain the gates at the entrances and exits to the parks. In the opening statements Monday in Salt Lake City, attorneys representing Michaud and Nakajigo's family said that they were seeking $140 million in damages from the government. The family's lawsuit claims when the national parks reopened, rangers at the park did not secure the gate in place, which in effect turned a metal pipe into a spear that went straight through the side of the car, decapitating and killing her.
That's just crazy. I saw a picture of the car. It was the damage is insane.
United States attorneys did not dispute that the park official should shoulder the blame.
Cut her head off.
But argued the amount that the family should be awarded is far less and called into question ways in which the damages being sought were calculated. So we'll keep an eye on that and see what ends up happening. A rail passenger in China who reclined his seat without notifying the person sitting behind him must pay damages of $475.
What happened?
The complainant, a university student identified in court documents as Wang, was using a newly purchased laptop on a fold-down table on a train to the Chinese city of Wuhan. Liu was sitting in front of him and reclined his chair, crushing Wang's laptop and leaving lasting damage to the screen.
Who's Lou?
Hey, Wang.
Now, mind you, the chairs are made to recline that way.
Yes.
It's really not his fault that he was simply using the equipment as it is allowed to be used.
But according to the People's Court, Liu neglected his obligation to inform
Judge Woody.
To inform that he had planned to recline his seat despite a sign compelling all travelers to, quote, please notify the passenger in the rear row when adjusting your seat.
There you go.
So you're supposed to do that.
All right.
Wang alerted police, who initiated discussions, but he and Liu failed to reach a compensation agreement, prompting Wang to sue Liu. Wang demanded Liu,
if your laptop has been crushed, give me a call. John Rambo, attorney at law.
Wang had
I handle divorces, vaginal water burns.
Oh, no.
And crush laptops.
Vaginal water. It's a very specific industry.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyhow, the People's Court ordered Liu to pay Wang about $475 in the suit. A Chicago police officer vacationing in Florida was arrested early on Monday after being caught urinating into an ice machine at a beachside bar, according to police, who charged the visiting lawman with battery and disorderly conduct.
What a pig.
According to police, an employee of the Jimmy B's Beach Bar in St. Petersburg was attempting to get ice from the ice machine around 12:30 a.m. when he discovered Henry Kapouch pissing on the ice machine.
Oh, my God.
When the worker...
It's a Chicago thing.
Richard Cleese told Kapouch to stop. The accused urinator cursed Cleese and shoved him a couple of times. Kapouch subsequently shoved a security guard, cops allege. Upon arriving in the bar, which is part of the Beachcomber Resort, police found Kapouch and his girlfriend on the nearby sand. Kapouch, cop's charge was actively resisting and not obeying lawful commands while being detained. He bonded out of jail early Monday after posting $650. They said that he showed an indication of alcohol influence. And Kapouch is a Chicago Police Department officer who's been on the force for 5 years.
People use that ice.
An Orlando caterer accused of being involved with food laced with marijuana at a wedding now faces a lawsuit from one of the wedding guests. Jocelyn Bryant catered the wedding back in February, which is when deputies found multiple guests high on marijuana. Deputies said they spoke with several of the guests who had told deputies they began to feel sick after eating food at the wedding venue provided by Bryant's catering service, which is called Jocelyn's Southern Kitchen. After guests were taken to the hospital, While suffering from the effects of the marijuana, both Brian and the bride, Dania Svoboda, were arrested.
Yeah, I remember
food,
this.
Food recovered from the scene tested positive for THC. The lawsuit shows that one of the guests at the wedding, Virginia Ann Taylor Svoboda, filed a lawsuit against Bryant, which says that the caterer knowingly allowed the food to be served while laced with marijuana. And I guess the bride was in on it, too.
That's the word.
And you can't do that.
Now, for the first time, it's man and wife at the seahorse party.
Yeah.
Seahorses forever.
My friend works for a wedding venue, and she's gotten this question a number of times.
You can't dose people
without letting them
know.
You can't say, look, there's weed in here.
Yeah.
You don't want it, don't eat it.
You also can't, it's illegal. You also can't serve it to all of your guests. Yeah,
put fentanyl in the stew.
Yeah. This is out of Louisiana. Firefighters are investigating a house fire at a home for the fourth time since 2020. First responders got the call after 8 o'clock Saturday evening. What once was a childhood home now remains as ash and debris. And for the fourth time in less than 3 years, Robert Addles discovered the place that he grew up was caught on fire.
Oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
The first three times, his brother Johnny Miller was reportedly responsible and arrested on arson charges by the state fire marshal's office. Addles said, I had a whole flow of emotions coming through. That's my brother. That's family. Second off, he's igniting our family home. Our family home is burning to the ground while he's watching it.
Complete pyro.
The fire destroyed the only family belongings they had left. But here's the deal. After Addles' mother passed away in 2018, family members were preparing to sell the home. But he said his brother disagreed with the plan. He said he verbally told us and he would rather see it burned to the ground before we did anything like that with the home. He just didn't want to see it sold.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So he didn't want to see anybody else living there since it was his family home.
So I'll burn it down.
The first time it caught on fire was February 2020, then again in April of 2020, then again in October of 2020. The home was declared unlivable and didn't have electricity, yet neighbors in the area say it seemed that someone was staying there. They say that frequent fires have them concerned for their safety. And this time, the house next door was caught on fire as well. The cause of this fire is still being investigated, and so far no arrests have been made. The state fire marshal's office is in charge of that investigation.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the Bizarre File podcast.
A Florida man was arrested Monday after deputies say he stole $1,375 worth of toothbrushes from Walgreens.
All right.
Man. The Monroe County Sheriff's Office said deputies responded to the Walgreens around 10:30 a.m. on Monday.
Do you want me to get some of the money or something?
No, the toothbrushes.
According to deputies, employees and other witnesses saw Tracy J. Mofield
with a beautiful smile
walk out of the store with six electric toothbrushes without paying for them. And he was then seen driving off in a white Lexus. Hmm. The sheriff's office said the deputies found Mofield's Lexus, but he sped away. They're not going to catch me.
Yeah. Not with these teeth.
Deputies did not pursue him at that point due to safety concerns. Mofield and his Lexus were spotted again later on. Deputy said the suspect told authorities he stole the toothbrushes and then threw them off of the Long Key Bridge.
That's very sad.
He was booked into the Monroe County Jail on a
every
charge.
Every year I gather up my toothbrushes and throw them off the bridge.
Of grand theft. It's an honor, right?
It's a thing.
Shocking surveillance video from a gas station in upstate New York shows the moment an 18-year-old man plowed his car into a gas pump. And it's interesting how this happened. The man admitted to starting the fire at the pump after he crashed into it when he was, quote, trying to do a burnout.
Oh, man.
The footage shows the flames spewing after the car hits the pump.
That didn't work so well.
Police said the man drove off, but investigators managed to identify and arrest him. The 18-year-old was charged with criminal mischief and leaving the scene of a motor vehicle accident after admitting to the crash. All right, this is messed up. A man was stung to death after trying to talk to a swarm of bees that he believed were reincarnations of his ancestors.
Oh, man.
In South Africa, yes.
Do you believe this guy?
And Kozintha in Jambana died at his home after speaking to the bees during a traditional ceremony.
Dude, we're just bees.
In some African cultures, it is believed that ancestors visit their living relatives in the form of bees or lizards.
Oh, so there's sort of a precedent for this.
Yes, often to warn the family to perform the correct traditional rituals.
Make sure to perform the correct traditional rituals. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to make honey.
The incident reveals the wrath of the ancestors, apparently.
Yeah, we are pissed.
So that's what
and it is. We are many.
That's what happened.
With tiny little wings.
After consulting a Sangoma, a traditional healer among the Zulu peoples.
You know him as a chiropractor.
Gotta go to the Sangoma and get an adjustment.
Nkansa. No, how do you say his name? Nkansa. The guy returned to perform the ritual. Known as the dispersing of bees to try and interpret their messages. Failing to decode the ancestor's message may have caused the bees to turn on him. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
They get frustrated when they can't convey their message.
So this is the most painful thing ever to befall our family, his brother said. And he said, we don't understand why they were so angry with him, yet he had welcomed them to his home. He never tried to violently chase them away.
This is not right.
The spirit of ancestors can also be reincarnated into water monitor lizards. Once a water monitor lizard or the bees enter the home, the family must consult traditional healers to understand.
The grasshoppers are so much more pleasant.
What ceremony needs to be performed? One method is for the family leader to go to the swarm of bees with a glass of soda. Sugar in a saucer.
Is that soda?
And a glass of brandy.
Mm.
And place them in front of the bees. Many of the ceremonies are expensive, with families having to save up for months to afford them.
We need our bee booze.
The family then make a type of traditional beer, which takes around 4 days to get ready before offering it to the bees. The bees were supposed to fly away at this point in the ceremony, but instead they attacked the guy. And this is likely because the family...
It wasn't top shelf liquor, was it?
May have been too hasty to get rid of the bees without trying to fully understand the ancestors' message.
There's so many ways to screw up with this ritual.
Yeah, totally. So you got to be careful. This is disturbing. The leader of a small polygamous group near the Arizona-Utah border has taken at least 20 wives, most of them underage. And punished followers who did not treat him as a prophet, court documents have claimed. This guy, Samuel Bateman.
Bring him to the bees!
Was a former member of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints until he left to start his own small offshoot group, which happens.
Yeah.
He was supported financially by male followers who also gave up their own wives and children to be Bateman's wives. The court documents provide new insight about what investigators have found in the case that first became public in August. It accompanied charges of kidnapping and impeding a foreseeable prosecution against three of his wives, too. Naomi Bistline, Donna Barlow, and Moretta Rose Johnson. Bistline and Barlow are scheduled to appear in court on Wednesday. Johnson is awaiting extradition. Now, the women are accused of fleeing with eight of Bateman's children who were placed in Arizona state custody earlier this year.
It's like under the banner of heaven.
Well, they were found hundreds of miles away in Spokane. It's actually directly tied to, if you saw a documentary called Stay Sweet, Pray and Obey, there's a guy named Warren Jeffs who that is the focus of. Well, this guy claims that Jeffs invoked the spirit of God and actually told him that he is a prophet and he needs to do all this. This is a dude that's in jail for the rest of his life. That is still pulling these strings from inside a jail cell.
It happens.
It's crazy. The affidavit details explicit sexual acts that Bateman and his followers engaged in to fulfill godly duties, according to Warren Jeffs. Thank God they got this guy.
Yes.
And we'll see what ends up happening to him. All right, something lighter. Can I end on something lighter, Casey?
Yeah, got to be a shorty.
All right, I'm looking for a shorty.
How about incest.
This is not a shorty. Let's see here. Okay, here we go. A member of an organized crime gang that sent almost half a ton of MDMA, that's Molly, right?
That's Molly.
To Australia, helped investigators uncover his own group by sending a picture of his dog that included his partner's phone number on its tag. Danny Brown from south of London sent an image of that's his new great. French bulldog named Bob to co-conspirator Stéphane Baldolf while plotting to send a shipment with a street value of $82 million to Brisbane.
Whoa.
Inside of a 40-ton digger, a high, you know, piece of equipment. So the crime agency investigators zoomed in on the phone number, and they used it, among many other tactics, in a painstaking investigation to prove that Brown was part of the conspiracy.
That's brilliant.
The dog was present when Brown was arrested. And, yeah, it was a huge drug deal.
Is the dog going to testify against him?
I think they have to bring the dog on the stand at some point. But, nonetheless, he played a big part in it. And there you go. That's what I have in the Bizarre File for you.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.